You know, this past week, I had the privilege of being in Argentina and to be able to speak in one of the sessions at the General Council of the Assemblies of God there, and to be a part of establishing a restoration process for the ministers of Argentina. At the end of the week, I was speaking in a church in Buenos Aires, and it's a church that one of our missionaries, Don Exley, had planted years ago. And so at his invitation, I was there to speak. They have two services on Sunday at the church. The church is about a 1,500-seat sanctuary, but because of the presidential election, they had to move the services from Sunday to Saturday because the government took the church as a polling station, and they had no choice but just to move. So within, you know, a week or two notice, they had to cancel services on Sunday, move to Saturday, and so they moved into Saturday night, 6 and 8 p.m., and I wondered how many people were actually going to show up. So I got there at 6 p.m. and the church was packed. I thought to myself, well, everybody came to the first service and there won't be anybody in the 8 p.m. service. There were more people in the 8 p.m. service than in the 6 p.m. service. And at 9:30 on Saturday night, I'm still preaching, and I'm thinking, usually on Saturday night at home in Dallas, I'm in bed getting ready for three services on Sunday morning, but still going strong. And man, if you've been aware of any of the revival that has sparked from Argentina, it's still alive and well in Argentina. So I just pray God will continue to pour that out upon Argentina and upon the United States of America. Amen. Hey, well, Thanksgiving, it's a time for us to reflect. It's time for us to look back at the things that we're most grateful for, and I had time to do that, and I hope you did as well. Thank you, Kyle, for bringing such a great Thanksgiving message last week. But I just started thinking about all of the wonderful things that have happened in my life, and I've had challenges too, but I was thinking specifically of the wonderful things that have happened in my life, and I came to the conclusion that every good thing that's happened in my life is all because of Jesus. Can anybody agree with me? Every good thing, it's all because of Jesus. And so Jesus is my everything. Every good thing, every good day I've had, it's all because of Jesus. And so I wanted to just brag on Jesus for a few minutes this morning. Is that okay? Is it okay if we just brag on Jesus? Colossians 1 says this: Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. So you want to know what God looks like, what God thinks like, what God acts like? It's Jesus. He's the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He's the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So because he rose from the dead, we too will rise. So he's the first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. And he made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Now, I like my life, but I realize my life is nothing without Jesus. So let me just tell you why I say this. Because first of all, Jesus saved me. I can remember as a little child, I don't remember it, but I remember the story that my mom and dad have told me about when, I don't know, I was probably kindergarten age and even younger, 5 years of age. I'm getting confirmation from my mom here. When dad had done a devotion, our family devotion, had talked about opening up our hearts and asking Jesus to come in and be the Lord of our life, and where they put us to bed, tucked us in. A little bit later, they tell the story. They hear the pitter-patter of little feet coming into the bedroom, and it's me, and I'm coming in, and I'm crying. And they said, "What's wrong, Kendall?" I said, I don't know how to open my heart. Isn't that precious? I grew out of that. But I was trying to figure out, how do I do this? How do I make Jesus, how do I open up my heart and let him come in? Well, it's done by faith. Obviously, you don't have to open up your physical heart, but you invite him in and you declare him as Lord. And when you declare Jesus as Lord, just like Romans 10:9 says, then you will be saved. But I had good moments as a child from then in children's church and in church and at home and youth camps. But it wasn't until I was 16 years of age when something really happened. When I knew I wasn't where I needed to be, but Jesus called me to follow him, and I said yes. In that moment, everything changed. I can go to that moment and know that that's when the trajectory of my life changed. How many can go back to a moment when you say, that's when I know I was saved? How many can do that? Man, it's good. Reflect. Remember, that's the moment Jesus saved me. That's the moment he changed me, and I am so grateful for that moment. But not just that. Jesus filled me. He filled me. I can remember being in a children's church service, so don't think the children's church is just babysitting. No, no, we're teaching the kids, and they have experiences with the Lord over there. And I was just about to age out of children's church, and our children's church director had talked about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I didn't know what that was, but I remember getting down on my hands and my knees and praying and saying, Jesus, if what she's talking about is real, then fill me. And I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues, and knew that in that moment there was a power that entered my life that I'd never had before. Jesus not only saved me, but Jesus filled me. But Jesus not only filled me, you know what else he did? And I argued with him about this one, but Jesus called me. He called me into the ministry, and I got to tell you, I was afraid of being in front of people. And I know most people wouldn't think that today, but I was scared to death when I was on the platform. Even in a youth choir, my knees would knock. I would get nervous. I would forget lines. I couldn't sing. I was petrified to be in front of people. And when Jesus called me to preach the gospel, I argue with him. I thought, that's not really for me. That's for somebody that can be eloquent, somebody that has confidence, and somebody that has charisma on the platform. No, that's not for me. But Jesus called me to preach this gospel. And I knew I was on that a youth missions trip in 1978 in Costa Rica, and we were there, and the choir practice wasn't going so well, and so the director said, we need to pray. So we had a prayer meeting. And so while we were all praying, I felt the Lord impress upon me to pray for kids to say yes to the call, which was a real weird prayer for another teenager to pray. But I'm praying. I feel the Lord say, hey, pray for the kids. Pray for them to say yes to the call. And I'm praying for that when all of a sudden the director of our choir over the trip that day, Don Couch, he came up and he says, Kendall, I think God's calling you into the ministry. Oh, you just overheard the Lord saying something to me. That's for all those other kids. That's not for me. That's for somebody else. But everything he started saying was everything that I'd been praying, and I knew at that moment that God had got inside of my head and had set me up with a little divine ambush, would have me open my heart up about the call into the ministry to pray for other people. And all of a sudden, he calls me, and I knew in that moment that all this was not about anybody else. It was about me. Jesus called me. I was probably an unlikely person, yet he still called me. There's a call for every single one of us. Every one of us have a call, have a purpose, have a reason we're here on this earth. There's something that you are to do. There's a problem that you are to solve. There is a space that you are to fill. We each have our call, and it's just up to us to say, yes, yes, Lord, I'll respond to the call. But Jesus not only saved me, not only filled me, not only called me. You know what? Through my life, Jesus has protected me. And I'm sure there are plenty of times the Lord has protected me that I had no idea what was going on. But one particular time that I know, we had pastored or had started our church in Houston. We were there and we were doing some street ministry. And I was going out on Saturdays, inviting people to ride a bus on Sunday morning to come to church. And we were just down finding basically homeless people that were under the bridge that would ride the bus. And we had quite a few that were riding the bus. I remember meeting one guy. His name was Redman. And he had a dog named Wounded Knee. And Wounded Knee followed Redman around everywhere he went. I invited Redman to ride the bus with us the next day. He said, look at me. I'm not dressed to go to church. I said, we don't care. He said, I haven't even bathed. And I won't be able to bathe tomorrow. I said, I don't care. He said, I know you don't care, but I do. He said, so why don't you bring church down here to us? I went, oh. And I've never been one to back down from a challenge. I said, all right, this coming Friday night, I'll bring church to you. And we started a street service meeting under Highway 59 at Fannin. And we started doing street church every Friday night. And about 4 weeks into that, we set up chairs, we'd serve a hot meal, we took our band down there, we played praise and worship music, and we would preach. And I was preaching the fourth night that I was there, the fourth week on a Friday night, I was preaching. All of a sudden, this big guy comes walking up. And the first thing I thought was, he's coming to get saved. I haven't even given an altar call yet. This is like Peter on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people got saved, and he didn't even give an altar call. They just said, what do we got to do to get saved? And I thought, this is it. It's the beginning. But he stopped and just stood there and stared at me. And he didn't have a look on his face like, I want to get saved. And I just remember being so intimidated, wondering, what is this guy here for? And he just stood there. So I just kept preaching. Finally, we finished, and I gave the altar call. And we started the serving line when this big guy walked up to me and said, my name's Robert Hall. I like what you're doing. Keep it up. And he turned around and walked off, and I just said, yes, sir. From that day forward, Robert Hall was our self-appointed head usher of street church. He literally became our protector. And what I found out later that I didn't know that night is that we'd been going down there for 4 weeks in a row, which we ended up down there for nearly 5 years. 4 weeks in a row, I was there. And every night that we kept showing up, he sat down under the bridge and thought, who do these people think they are coming down here singing and preaching on my turf? And after the fourth week, he had had enough. And he was coming down to take out the preacher. He was coming down, and he had a gun, and he was planning on shooting the preacher. But when he got to the front, his story is, I was paralyzed, and I couldn't move. I couldn't leave. I couldn't draw a gun. I couldn't do anything. I just had to stand there and listen. And when I listened to everything that you had to say, I realized that you were sent here for us. And then he says, so we decided to let you stay. I said, praise God. Jesus protected me. And there have probably been dozens and dozens and dozens of other times that Jesus has protected me that I have no idea about. Heaven will tell that story. And I can tell you, you're here today because Jesus protected you. You're here today because God had his hand upon you, angels watching over you, making sure that you got here today. Number five, Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me. 1978, thank you. I was diagnosed with a tumor inside of my spinal column, similar to Remy's. We share scars on the back of our neck. The doctors didn't think that I would live through that. They thought if the tumor itself, which was pressing upon my nerves that control my breathing, which had affected my breathing already, if that didn't kill me, then the cancer would kill me. But long story short is, if you didn't know, I lived through that. It didn't kill me. And I'm alive to tell the story that Jesus is still a healer. Jesus still heals today. Jesus still restores today. Jesus still heals his people today. In fact, John 9:1-3, I want you to see this verse. It says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. I got to tell you, when the doctors had diagnosed me with this tumor, I began to go through the scriptures, and I was finding every healing scripture I could to stand upon, to claim, because I believed Jesus was going to heal me. And out of all the scriptures that really jumped out, and you know what I'm talking about, whenever you're reading the scriptures and it's like it's a rhema word, it's like the scriptures come to you. You know, you just don't find it. It finds you. You're reading it, jumps out. It's like, whoa, that's a word from God for me. This is what I got. And I remember thinking, no, I don't really want that one. I want the one that says for sure, I'm going to be healed. But it says neither this man nor his parents sinned. This happened so the works of God might be displayed in him. And I said, so this happened so that you could display your glory. This happened so that you could get some praise. This happened so you could show off a little bit. And that's okay. But I remember, regardless of how it was supposed to turn out, regardless of what happened, and I didn't know exactly how it was going to turn out. I didn't know if my death would glorify him. I didn't know if my healing would glorify him. I just had to trust that God was going to work it out for good. But I knew that whatever happened, he was going to get the glory. In fact, the doctors even told me the very day that I went home, said, listen, this tumor is in such a position that if you just twist your head the wrong way, or if you got hit or twist, you know, you could die. So we need to get you to surgery immediately. And I remember maybe being a little foolish, but to me it was, I wanted to tell the devil, no, I'm not dying. You can't take me. God's going to get the glory out of this. And I remember going home that night, and I got my boys, and I said, let's play some basketball. And so I played basketball with my sons that night after the doctor had told me, you twist your head the wrong way, you might die. Just to, maybe a little foolish, but more faith than foolishness. And most of you know that faith and foolishness sometimes look real similar. This was faith. All I can tell you is Jesus is a healer. Let me hurry up. Number six, Jesus restored me. Worship team, if you guys come on back, I'm going to do this quickly. Jesus restored me. There was a time when Starla and I, we didn't know if we were going to make it 20 years ago plus. We didn't know if we were going to make it as a couple. I didn't know if I'd ever preach again, but Jesus restored me. And I love this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:18. It says, and all of this is a gift from God. What's the gift? Who brought us back to himself through Christ. When we are brought back to Christ, once we have fallen away or we've lost our way or we've fallen off the spiritual wagon and we're brought back to Christ, that's a gift from God. How many of you have ever received the gift of being reconciled back to God? Come on, man, he just brought you back. He restored you. He reconciled you. That's a gift. But notice this. But God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. That means that any of us in this room that have ever received the gift of restoration, the gift of reconciliation, the gift of being brought back into right relationship with Christ, now we have a task. And the task is to make sure that others can experience that same kind of restoration. Our job is to tell the story that if God can restore my family, God can restore your family. If God can heal my body, God can heal your body. If God can save me, God can save you. If God can fill me, God can fill you. It's all about taking what God has done in us and sharing it with somebody else so God can do the same thing in someone else. Can somebody say amen? You know, Jesus also comforted me. There's a night when I thought, or a season when I thought, and life would always be this dark and this heavy and this hopeless. Sitting in my backyard or the back porch, early in the morning, it's still dark. I'm literally crying in a cup of coffee. And I'm just complaining to the Lord. Is it always gonna be this dark? Is it always gonna be this bad? Is it always gonna be this hopeless? Only a few times in my life where I really felt the Lord just spoke to me, but this was one of those. I felt the Lord say, the sun will rise over this dark night in your life. I heard it. I believed it. But it wasn't until I saw the sun literally begin to rise that the message got through. Because it was at the moment that I realized, as sure as the sun comes up every single morning, I can be confident that the sun's gonna rise over my dark night. And that's when I knew the Lord just had comforted me. He has sent his Holy Spirit to comfort me and let me know it's not gonna always be this dark. Sun's gonna rise and I'm gonna have some daylight to work with. And he'll do the same thing for you. Jesus encouraged me. John 11:24, Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, and though he dies, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Now, I know not everybody will understand this, but there was a moment, it was literally only one day in my life when I felt this heaviness upon my life that I thought the best option for me and for everyone else is to end my life. And I thought it was so difficult that I didn't think I had the strength to go forward. I thought the best, just take your life. That's best for you and best for everyone else. But you know what? Jesus came in and encouraged me in that moment. That life was still worth living. And I'm confident that it was because of the prayers of others that that spirit of suicide began to lift. I've never felt it again. But I know if you've ever experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we just need others to pray for us. Sometimes we need somebody else to lift that burden, to lift that weight and lift that load. When that load lifts, you see hope and you can start moving again. Once you start moving, you get the momentum and you can break that cycle of strongholds in your life. And I'm so thankful that he encouraged me to keep moving. And I'm gonna keep moving and I'm not gonna stop until I make it all the way to heaven. Can somebody say amen? Yeah, here's number nine. Number nine, Jesus provided for me. He's done a lot. Saved me, filled me, healed me, restored me, encouraged me. But he's also provided for me. Do you realize that I've never missed a meal. I may have been sent to bed a few times without a meal, but that's a different thing. Never missed a meal, always had a place to lay my head. I know not everybody can say that, but we're all here today because the Lord has provided. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Now listen, I want a lot of things that I don't have. But I don't lack anything. There's nothing that I need that I don't have. Because the Lord is a provider. He's provided for me and he's provided for you. And it's easy for us all to start comparing ourselves. Who do we compare ourselves when we're feeling sorry for ourselves? We always compare with somebody who's got more. But you realize there's a whole lot more people that have less than those who have more. He's a provider. I can stand with David and said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. You know why? Because I do it God's way. You want provision in your life? Do it God's way. You want blessings in your life? Do it God's way. You want God to take care of you? Then you take care of God. You put him first in your life and you'll always see his provision in your life. Here's the last thing. I'm gonna stop with this. Jesus has done a lot for me, but there's one thing that he hasn't done yet that I'm hoping for, I'm believing for, and that is Jesus is coming back for me. He's coming back soon. And all you gotta do is look around at the current events that's taking place in this life today and you realize he's coming back soon. He's coming back quickly. In fact, let me just read this scripture to you and I'll stop. John 14:1 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Somebody hear that? Don't be troubled today. No, life may not be perfect. Don't be troubled. Don't be discouraged. Are there things that are imperfect in your world, in your family? Yeah, yes, but don't be troubled. Instead, believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus said. For my Father's house, it has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And we know that he ascended. And so he is there preparing a place for us right now. And he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. So we know that if he's good for his first promise, which is to come the first time and then go to prepare a place for us, he will come again and receive us unto himself. Now, one of his disciples, Thomas, said this. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how do we know the way? Jesus made it simple. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the way. Listen, we've all tried different ways of trying to make life work, and we've tried different ways of trying to make ourselves happy. We've tried different ways to try to make ends meet. We've tried different ways to try to find our way in life. Jesus says, no, I'm the way. Just do it Jesus' way. We've all tried to find our own truth, Oh, I'm okay with this, but I'm not okay with that. No. Don't try to find your truth. Just find the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. And if you'll trust the truth, then you'll find the way. If you find the way, you find the truth. And if you find the way and you find the truth, you know what you have? You have life. You have a life that's worth living. You have a life that you enjoy living. You have a life that you get up every morning with an excitement about, what does God have in store for me today? Just stick with the way and stick with the truth, and you'll have the life that you dream of. But you gotta do it Jesus' way, because Jesus is my everything. Now listen, I don't know what the need is in your life today, but I promise you, Jesus is the answer. He's got the solution for every problem. He's got the provision for every bit of lack. Jesus is the answer to every question. Jesus is my everything. Every good thing in my life all belongs to Jesus. Every difficult thing, every train wreck in my life comes back to me trying to do it my way. But when I do it Jesus' way, then I have the life that I've always wanted. Come on, stand to your feet all over this place. I want you to think just for a minute, all over this room and even those that are watching this service online right now. If you're here today, you need something from Jesus. Maybe there's a lack, there's a void, there's a hurt, there's a pain. Maybe you need him as your savior. Maybe you need him as your healer. Maybe you need him as your provider, as a comforter, as an encourager. Maybe you need him to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever you need from Jesus, if there's something that's lacking in your life, all you gotta do is reach up and say, Jesus, I open up my heart to you. It's not that difficult. Just I open up my heart to you. You begin to fill me with what I need from you. Declare him as your Lord. You'll be saved. Call upon him as your healer. His healing will come. Call upon him as comforter. He sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us. Man, just keep moving one step towards him. He'll encourage you to keep going and not give up. Come on, just lift your hands up to him right now. Say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. What do you need him for? He is my everything. He's your everything. He'll be what you need him to be. Oh, Jesus, be the provider. Be the comforter. Be the deliverer. Be the restorer. Be the reconciler. Be the one who forgives. Be the one who holds everything together. You may feel like your life is falling apart, but Jesus is holding it together right now. Just put your trust in him. Put your hope in him. Put your faith in him. Jesus, we trust in you today. We lean upon you today. We count upon you today. Thank you, Jesus. You're my everything. Just tell him, Jesus, you're my everything. Without you, I have nothing. Without you, I have nothing. Jesus, you're my everything. You're my hope. You're my strength. You're my joy. You're my life. You're my everything. I trust in you, Lord. I trust in you, Lord. I trust in you, Lord.